If you have your Bibles with you, please, and if you're physically able, if you can please rise up as we honor the Lord and turn our Bibles to the Gospel John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and please note that the Word is capitalized. Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to some men?
Every man.
Okay, let's look at that. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in another version he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, capital O, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is the Father's side, has made him known. Lord, we thank you, God, for this particular morning, God, you've given us, Lord. Lord, oh God, as we come before you, Lord God, and we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, but not just to hear, but may you give us understanding, God, through the work of your Spirit. Lord, bless everyone here, God, gathered today, even our Sunday school children, God. We know that this time is a blessed time, and this will not be wasted when we decided to come and to be in your presence, God, to hear your word, for your word is light to all of us. We ask for the help of your Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us all, and that we may apply the truths that you're going to show to us and reveal to us all. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Praise God. There was a few days ago, we had an errand, and we went to this Filipino store here in Carson, Seafood City. And one of the things that was so visible was they were all hanging by that one area of the store, and we call that a parol. No? Have you seen that at Seafood City? Huge. And these are the more expensive ones. They're made of like capiz shells. For most of us who come from the Philippines, Christmas is characterized by many things. You have the sights, the sound, the smell of Christmas. One of the sights would be, the parol. They're like star-shaped lanterns littered. And so they can be like a humble design. It could be made out of Japanese paper, and the more expensive ones are the kapis. I guess, you know, the ones being sold in Seafood City, they range from 200 something, no? Wow, it really is like, ooh, expensive. But so that's just one. Oh, when you would ask people, what do you observe about the season of Christmas? What's common to you? How is the Christmas time characterized? We have, of course, you know, the lights and all. We have, what else? The gift giving, of course, the Christmas decorations and all. The smell, you have, you know, they would say, favorite dishes that you would like cook during your Noche Buena. What is Noche Buena? That's the Christmas Eve where families would gather together, you know, as part of the tradition. So people would have many traditions as far as how to celebrate Christmas. And so, but we would particularly focus on what we read today as far as, because it's good for us. It's good for us to go straight to the Word of God and to be reminded about why Jesus came. You know, when we were singing that song, How Great is Our God, see, because the Bible, which is the Word of God, which is the authority, the Bible is God's Word, and it describes to all of us how God is, that He is the creator of heaven and earth, that He's the God who created us. He is the God who, when you look up in the sky, the heavens, the sky, you know, the stars, the sun, the moon, and when you go to the beach and see the ocean, some of you who are well-traveled here, you know, you've been to so many places, and you see the beauty of nature, the beauty of nature, and we are reminded that there's a God who created that, created all of those things. And yet, here's the thing. When God decided to come and visit the world He created, He came through humble birth. In fact, a portion of the Bible says that we read is He came to the world He created, but the world did not recognize. The world did not recognize Him. And so, and there was a song composed by someone, and the message of the song was, what a strange way to save the world, because the Savior came as a baby. And so that's why when that much awaited event by so many people happened, and the Bible tells us that the sign for that great plan of God to bring about salvation to all mankind was the virgin birth, that a child will be born. And so that's why a lot of people did not recognize Jesus because of how He came. He came through humble birth. Because for some, if you would say, when you would hear the word great, how would you describe someone who is great? Probably you would think that that person lives in a palace, right? During the time of our Lord Jesus, you know, there were governors and they would live in palaces. But in fact, the Bible tells us when He was born, He was born in a manger, sa Tagalog, sabsaban. A manger it's a filthy place. It's damp, it's dark, and there were animals around Him. That's the place where Jesus was born. And if God chose to come to the world to be our Savior that way, He has a reason. He has a purpose. Because it takes faith. It takes faith. When God says, I'm going to save you, and I'm going to send you my Son. And the plan of salvation was how we are reading it in the Gospels. Last Wednesday, for some of you who were not here, you know, for the sake of some of you who were not here, let me read that portion, because, you know, when you'd say, oh, let's read the Christmas story, how many of you would remember that some of you might be reading that to your children, and it would say, 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Have you heard of that story? But that's not the real Christmas story. The Christmas story is found in the Word of God. That's why this is what we should read to our children. And it says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so here in that story, it tells us that God is going to send his son, and even the name, the details of, the plan of God was written here. Even the name, and that the name given to the Son of God, Jesus, signifies why he came. The name Jesus means he will save his people from their sins. Now, how important it is for us to read the Word of God. It is important, because God's Word is truth. Now, when referring back to that portion that we read, that Jesus came to be the light of the world, and then we ask ourselves, how the Spirit of God would use words to give us an understanding or a picture of who Christ is, why he came, and what he can do in our lives. And one of the names given to our Lord Jesus is, he is the light of the world. How important is light to us? How important is it? Let's pretend it's nighttime and we turn off the lights. And I would ask, Brother Boy, can you get me something from the kitchen and it's pitch black, dark? How would Brother Boy or anyone whom I would ask to get something and it's so dark, how would the process be? It would be difficult, right? It would be hard. That's right. When it's dark, we might stumble and slip, right? And so we value physical light. Every morning when we get up, if it's a sunny day, we value sunshine, sunlight. Right? I think I've mentioned this several times. In places wherein there's not much sunlight coming, you wouldn't see a lot of trees growing or plants growing, because you know what? So science, what does sunlight do? Photosynthesis, right? Anyone remember your science? Okay, so... That's right. The sun is part of God's creation to give light. It gives life. Kaya po tayo may nakakain greens, vegetables, food, because of light. The light gives life. And so that's why in Iceland, because the sun rarely shines in that place, there's not much trees, not much growth. And so, but when you and I bring it to our spiritual lives. I would say spiritual lives, because we are not just here physically. Because our whole being, there's a part of us, and that's our spiritual being. We're not just here because, physically, because there's much more to the physical life. And there's something far greater that's so important in your life and mine, and that is our spiritual lives. And so when we go back to why Jesus was sent, and it tells us Jesus was sent to save us from our sins. All of us, When we were born, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory. But the gift of God was given, and that is the gift of His eternal life through Jesus, His Son. Amen. Isn't that wonderful news? Amen. And so for us believers, for some of us who have already made that decision to accept Christ as our Savior and Lord, you know, this would be a good reminder for all of us what Christmas is all about. Because is it possible that we, even as Christians, can get distracted? We can get be distracted and lose sight of the significance of what the season is all about. Now, you know, coming back to that light. See, light shows us, the light that comes from Jesus shows us our true condition. Like when you would look at the mirror, and of course when you look at the mirror, you'd like to see that, you look good, right? You would like to see whether, you know, how you look. And if there's like some dirt or a smear in your face, and you would need light to really see how you look. But the light that comes from Christ shows our true spiritual condition. Let me say that again. The light that comes from Jesus, who is the Word of God, serves like a mirror and gives us, it enlightens us and illuminates us to see, number one, our true spiritual condition. And so when you and I, as we continually look at the Word of God, and going back to that portion where I referred to the parole, that star, let's look at Revelation 22, verse 16. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. It's amazing how this is one of the declarations, the powerful declarations of our Lord Jesus of who He is. Revelation 22, verse 16. Let me know if you're there. It's fast, I know, because it's the last book, no? Okay, all right. Verse 16 of chapter 22. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for whom? For the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright. Jesus, so one of his name is, he's a morning star. You know what a morning star is? The morning star, it is, that is the time wherein that star shines during the darkest moment. Oh, a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus, that even in our darkest moments, when you and I have Christ, his light would shine through us. Hallelujah. Jesus is our bright morning star, and He's the light of salvation to all. The light of salvation to all. Now, as far as another reference, as far as light, we made reference as far as getting to our destination safely and not being able to stumble. And many times, you know, in our lives, life is like a journey, as they would say. We need light to light our way. We need the light that comes from God to enlighten our path. Because there will be moments in our lives that when we don't know what to do, and we seem to be like, they would say, I'm in the dark. Some people would say that comment, I'm in the dark. But you know what? There's a promise from the Word of God, and we're going to see that in the book of John later on. But first of all, when you and I were reminded why Jesus came for us, it's interesting to note when Jesus grew up. Remember, he was born as a baby, but it was not until he was 30 years old that he began to do the mission that God has called him. And now let's look to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 13. Matthew 4, verse 13. And so Jesus, he was already 30 years old this time. And we're going to see what the Bible tells us and records for us what the Lord did at that time in his life. Matthew 4, verse 13. And it says, leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. I want you to take a look at verses 16 and 17. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. I love that. Did you see that? And so here, it mentions to us that when Jesus came, it was to fulfill the promise of God before, that he is to send someone, and that is his son. And it says here, there were people living in darkness. Why were they in darkness? Because of their sin. But they have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Because sin brings about spiritual death. Sin separates us from God. Without Jesus, we are in the dark. Sin brings us darkness, and we are separated from God. And look at verse 17. Very, very important. Verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. And what did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's amazing. Please note, what was his first message? What was the first thing that he said when he talked about the kingdom of heaven? Repent. He didn't say, tomorrow, please come because I'm going to have a seminar, how to be successful in life. Tomorrow, the following day, I'm going to tell you how to earn more money. No, can I say this again? Money in itself is not bad. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Money cannot buy us true joy. Money cannot buy us peace. Money can buy some things. So, you know, here's the thing. In the world, in the society we're living in, and that's why the Bible tells us we should not conform to this world. We should not copy the pattern of this world. Why? How does the world celebrate Christmas? It's all about stuff. Presents. That's why in our previous Bible study, it's presents or presence. When God said, give him the name Emmanuel, what is the meaning of Emmanuel? God with us. That's the presence of God. Because you know what? There were so many people. When you and I would read the book of Ecclesiastes, there was a man. His name was Solomon. He tried all things. He tried having everything, having relationships, having all the things that the world can offer. But bottom line, vanity. Vanity. His final conclusion was, if you would read that in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, the final duty, the main duty of man is to honor God and obey his commandments. You see, that's why when we would say, when we were singing that song, we thank the Lord. Lord, you came to give us life. Lord, you came to show us how to live. That's what the Word of God is doing for all of us. It shows us the meaning of life. It shows us how to have a relationship with God and how it can, when we have a relationship with God, it would bless our relationship with one another. When we take away God, then the problems come. When we forget his commandments, problems come. We might, you know, we thank God for opportunities that, you know, we hear the word of God, but it's not enough to hear the word of God. We are here to also what? Do what it says. To do what it says. Amen. And so when the Lord says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Why is that? Because the greatest need of people is to be reconciled with God. You know, Christmas time, there were so many inspired by the Spirit of God as far as even a lot of Christmas carols that we would always sing. I know Brother Robert, he loves to sing Christmas carols. Kaya gusto niya mag-caroling nga tayo. Amen, praise the Lord. But haven't you noticed that there's some Christmas carols that it's in line with the Word of God. Like yung Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Tulungan niyo ako. Glory to the newborn King. And so, peace on earth. See mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise. Join the triumph of the skies. Okay, okay na tayo. Sige. Tama na, tama na. Okay. Meron doon, God and sinners reconciled. At saka yung joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. I love that portion. I love that. Let every heart prepare him room. Because this heart can get crowded with so many things other than Jesus. That's why, you know what? When Jesus said repent, do you know what that word repent means? It's just a change of heart. That's simply what it means. Repent is a change of heart. And so why heart? You know, we know in the physical sense, the heart is such a very important physical part of the body. When that heart stops pumping, we're dead meat. But when the Bible talks about heart, it means another thing. Do you know that our spiritual heart, that's the center of our desires, that's the center of our will, of our emotions, right? That heart has the ability to love. That heart has the ability to desire certain things. Now, if that heart is crowded with other things than God, then that's where the problems come. Look at what Proverbs chapter 4. Let's look at Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. We're going to start with verse 20. Proverbs 4. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 4, 20. It says, my son, so it's not just, that's not just about for men, okay? It's for everyone. Pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Okay. What should we keep within our hearts? The word of God. Look at verse 22. For they are life to those who find them. What is life? The word of God. They are life to those who find them. And health to a man's whole body. Wow. You know, when I saw this verse, wow, I would always declare that over my body. And look at this. And verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And so, you know, this 2018, it's a reminder for all of us, including myself. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our hearts from anything that would, like, penetrate and that can, like, crowd this heart and take the place of our Lord Jesus. Amen. And so that's why it's important for us. It's important for us always to make room for the Word of God in our lives. That's why during this time, we read all of these verses. Why? Because God's Word is a reminder for us. And in fact, it was just said here, declared that the Word of God, it's life to all of us. Now, in the Gospel John that we read, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was... So Jesus is the Word of God. So every time you and I come together or by yourself, you would find time to read the Word of God. We're spending time with our Lord Jesus. Amen? And so that's why His Word makes reference to light. We mentioned earlier how we need light in our spiritual lives. How do we connect that? How do we connect that? Example, if in our decision-making and we don't know what to do, I would always quote this verse to most of you because I've experienced it for myself that it's really true. In Psalm 119, verse 105, look at what it says. Psalm 119, verse 105. This is our assignment, to memorize Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. Look at what it says. There we go. Your word, Lord, is what? A lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Let's namnamin ho natin yan. Let's read it again. Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet. Why feet? Because our life is a walk, right? And it's a step-by-step thing. Our spiritual lives, in our lives, it's a daily walk. What steps do we take? When you would take a step, which direction are you going? We ask ourselves, where is my feet taking me? It says, Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet. Short-term plans, we commit it to God. And a light for my path. Long-range plans, we commit them to God and ask God, Lord, what do I do? And so, can I say this? In our decision-making, we should not rely on our own understanding. We ask God. It might be the most logical thing to do. The most logical thing to do. But the Word of God tells us in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. But in all of our ways, acknowledge Him and He shall. Isn't that ganda? He shall direct our path. That's a promise. Most of the promises of the Lord, they're conditional. What does it mean? So for God to direct our path, what should we do? From that verse, to trust first in the Lord and not to rely on our own understanding. But as we acknowledge Him, like example, Lord, I like this job where I am. I'm going to quit. I don't like the people that I don't like my boss. Don't like my boss. I'm going to quit tomorrow. Right? If I'm in that position, when I make that decision and I would say I'm going to quit tomorrow, I'm leaning on my own understanding, right? But if I come to God, Lord, you know that I'm having a hard time with my work, God. You know, every time I see my boss, God, I want to run away. I want to escape. But God, you know what's going on. So Lord, but I commit this to you. Show me what to do. And then you turn to the Word of God. You want to listen to God's voice. Lord, show me what to do. And if God says, stay, be patient. If God says, be patient, you know, stay, right? And, you know, He has done that in my life. I was working for someone who is really a terror. I shared that with you, most of you. Amen. Many times I would say, good morning. Oh, what's good about the morning? Ganun ho. And I was about to walk out. I was always in the bathroom because I was crying in the bathroom. God, help me. God, help me. And the Lord said, you know, most of you remember that story. And we had like a potluck. It was the day that I was about to walk out. But the Lord said, no, stay. Don't walk out. In fact, after all of this, ipagbalot mo, you know, prepare some to go for your boss. Lord, are you talking? Is that you? Is that you talking to me? In short, the Lord wanted me to show kindness to this lady. But you know what? I continued to do that, and you know what? I earned her friendship later on. She became one of the good friends. I'm no longer working for her, but now, you know what? She's a good friend. She's such a good friend. And the Lord opened doors of opportunity to visit the sick mom, visit the dad, and only to find out, you know, that she was going through a lot in her personal life, in her family life, and the Lord gave me an opportunity to share Jesus. And even she confided, you know, this lady is very, you know, she's one of the kumbaga kanang kamay ng, you know, the owners. She's respected. And so for her, me being able to win her trust and confidence because I continually, and I say continually, showed kindness. When my mom would make mommy ko yung lunch bag ko napakabigat, sasabihin niya, "What's in your bag, lunch bag?" Extra, there's always an extra, and it came in handy, extra pandesal. And so I would give it to her. So I would do that all the time, extra banana. Kindness, kindness. And you know what? That melted her heart. And so that's why I was able to win her trust. And one day she confided to me about what's going on in her family life. Has a brother who was convicted of a crime and was in prison. And then I said, you know what? I know we could write letters. I wrote the brother a letter and talked and shared about so many things. You know, when I was writing that letter, it's like, wow, fluid. Because it was the Spirit of God inspiring me to write. And the bad thing was, I forgot to introduce myself in that letter. And so when they visited him, you know, the brother said, meron ba kayong kila? Do you know of someone named Monette? And, you know, my coworker, she's my coworker. And then, to make the long story short, she has been writing me letters. And every time they would visit him, you know, the family said, we notice a change in him. He is now talking about God all the time. God is light to us. With that simple, you know, we start with that story that there would be unfavorable circumstances in all of our lives all the time. And we would want an easy way out. Oh, we look for the exit door, right? In a relationship, we want to look at the exit door. You know, this marriage is called exit. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not here to minimize the pain when there would be things going on in a marriage. Families are now being attacked on all sides by Satan, and we know that there's an enemy who is lurking, and he's all out. He's all out to destroy your life, and if you are a married couple, even to destroy the lives of your children. That's his goal, and he would look for an opportunity. Just a little, we give him an inch, and he would get a yard. Never give him an inch. Because that's his goal. But praise God that Jesus came to give us life. There's hope in the Lord. There's hope in the Lord. That's why the Word of God is life to us. When there would be things going on, but the main thing is first, we need to find out whether you and I have Jesus in our lives. We need to know, we need to be certain whether we have made that decision in our lives. We come to church. It's not just, you know, being here physically, but the mind and the heart is somewhere else. In fact, you know, when you would read the rest of the book of Matthew, there was a person like that. His name was King Herod. There were wise men. They were considered wise because they sought, they tried to seek the Savior. And they were guided by a star up in heaven. Do you know that God can use anything to guide us to know Jesus in our lives? And so this man, they came from thousands of miles. And you know, we don't have cars then. But it takes us that they really took an effort on their part to seek Jesus. And they were called wise before the eyes of God. And the response when they saw the star was, their hearts were overjoyed. Why is it that people, when they find Jesus, experiences joy? Because he's the true joy giver. Peace and joy only comes in the person of our Lord Jesus. Only he can give that. Only he can give that. Everything else is temporary fix. But what Jesus gives is for eternity. You know, Elder Rowell mentioned something about eternal values. And that's what God is preparing us all. We have to remember that that's why presents or presents. How many of you have already done your list? This is what I want for Christmas. You know, when you're listening to Coast 103, you know, they have a lot of secular songs. All I want for Christmas is a hippopotamus. What? You know, they can. What people need is the peace and joy that comes from our Lord. Joy, number one, Joy first comes from having our sins forgiven. Recognizing that, God, my sins, Lord, it has separated me from you. So, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you came to save me from my sins. That's the first step. That's the first step. And then next is what? And here's as we end. Look at John chapter 8 as we end. John 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's say that again. So who said these words? Jesus did. He said that I am the light of the world. And he followed it with what? Whoever. So it's respective whether you're young, you're old, you're rich, poor, educated, not educated. Whoever. Whoever follows Jesus will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I like it when Jesus said, we'll never walk in darkness. Is that a promise? Yes, it is. How do we follow Jesus? When we read Psalm 119. Psalm 100, Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So this Christmas 2018, let's make room for the Word of God. Let's make room for Jesus, who is the Word of God. There's so many things that can pull us away from, I know that. I'm guilty of that many times too, myself. But the Lord is reminding us that we have to make room for Jesus in our hearts always. How? Through the Word of God. Because the Word of God gives direction. The Word gives life. The Word of God gives comfort. It gives hope. It revives a heart that is fainting and all of that. Amen. Because he is the light that has come to us. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we bless you today. We honor you that you came as our Savior. That you came, Lord God, because you know our true condition, that our sins have separated us from you. And we thank you, Lord God, for every moment that you give us all to make our relationship right with you. And so, Lord, this particular Sunday morning for everyone here, God, you know the condition of our hearts. And so if there's anyone right here gathered today and you have not yet made a decision to accept Christ as your Savior, because he is the only one that can save you and me from our sins, this is the moment that God has given you. Because the Word of God says today is the day of salvation. So if you're that someone and you feel that tug in your heart and you have not yet accepted and invited Jesus in your life, we will lead you in a very simple prayer. I'm going to say the words and you can follow after me, believing with all of your heart that, number one, God loves you so much. God loves us. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, in Jesus, shall not perish but have everlasting life. And to those that would believe in Christ will be given the right to become a child of God. So if you're that someone and you're ready to accept Christ, I pray that you would make this decision today. Just follow me in this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you. Just as I am a sinner in need of your grace, in need of your forgiveness, I open up my heart to you, Lord, and your word that, Jesus, you came to save me from my sins. I receive my forgiveness through your blood, Lord Jesus. And from this day on, lead me, be the light of my life. I open up my heart to your word and to your Holy Spirit, who will guide me all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. And for some of us who have known the Lord for quite some time, this is a time for us to just recommit and just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for reminding me that my heart should be filled with your word. I ask for wisdom how to manage my time and not be distracted with the things of this world and to spend time with you, because that is your heart's desire, that your presence be in my life, in my home, in your church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all rise up. As we call on our praise and worship team, let's sing that song. It's a beautiful song that we were led earlier, Emmanuel. You know, those wise men, when they found Jesus where he was, you know what they did? They worshiped. They worshiped Jesus. And so, you know, that's what you and I were created for. And that is to worship our Lord. And so, in the simplicity of this song, let's worship the Lord together. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus. Praise God. We are all together in this place of worship to proclaim the greatness of our God.
Praise you, Jesus.
He is great, and yet he chose to come through humble birth. And we're going to acknowledge what he has done.
Together in this place of worship, your greatness we proclaim.
Yes,
we stand as one in giving you, O glory and acclaim.
To you our hearts,
you Father God, we thank you for your love for us. That love was shown and demonstrated by giving us your Son, Jesus, who is the Savior of our lives. We thank you for that name you've given him that gives comfort to all of us, that God, you are with us. Lord, with the uncertainty of many things in our lives, God, we come to you. And we thank you that, Lord, your presence is what we need. Your presence that's able to restore our souls, to restore our health, to restore broken relationships, because you are the Prince of Peace, God. Lord, this year, Lord, you know where we're at spiritually, God. Lord, you know that so many things clamor and compete for our attention. But today you've reminded all of us that above all else, we need to guard our hearts, God, from the things that can take us away from you and from your presence, God. We need the wisdom, the insight that comes from your Spirit, Lord God, that we may know how to live during these times that we are living in, God, to be watchful, to be prayerful, oh God. We thank you, Lord, oh God, for the time that you have given us. We realize that, Lord, some people will be lonely, are lonely, Lord God, during this season, God. Could be the loss of a loved one because of many things. Loss of a job, God. Many things, God, that can bring loneliness, God, in the hearts of many, even among your people. But today we thank you for reminding us that, Lord Jesus, you are our joy giver. That there's joy and this inner peace that you fill our hearts with in spite of difficult circumstances, Lord. And that because your presence is with us, we know that we are safe. We know that, Lord, you would see us through. The strength that you give us, oh God, that, Lord, we will overcome whatever circumstances, difficult problems, trials that we are faced with. And Lord, oh God, we pray for all families represented, Lord God, in this local church, God. We ask that, Lord, that your presence be in every home. We ask that the love of God fill every heart, Lord. Lord, gamitin mo kami. Use us, oh God, to be your channels of blessings to so many who need Jesus this Christmas season, God. We ask, Father God, that, Lord, as you bless us, that you would use us to be a blessing to so many. For Jesus, you are the light that has come to our lives, and may we reflect that light to others. Bless your people today, even as we gather for our meal later on, God. We thank you for providing for our needs, O God, and your presence that is present and abides, God. Bless your people today. We give you the highest praise that you deserve. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Praise God. So for those I'm not able to see on Christmas time, Merry Christmas to some of you, and we'll see you on the 16th for our Christmas worship service. God bless you all. Praise God.